waiting 3 months to go back in for an appointment. I'd been in bed for 2.5 months, and the week before my appointment, I'm actually up and functioning. And I would consciously be like, oh my gosh, if I show up and I look normal, they're not going to believe me even more than they already don't.
Well, I mean, I went to one specialist, and it was the middle of summer, and I'm dressed in winter gear, had a scarf on, everything, gloves on the lot. Took the gloves off, and my hands were white, and my fingernails were blue, and they were freezing cold. And even though I just told all my symptoms to this doctor, including, you know, being cold, they just leaned back in the chair, crossed their arms, and said, that is not possible. It is possible. And my wife's sitting there.
Welcome to Lyme Voice. We are your hosts, Sarah and Aaron Sanchez. We created this show designed to inspire, educate, and encourage you on your path to wellness. This show's purpose is to help you put the puzzle pieces of healing into place. Join us as we interview other warriors and discuss how fighting is a mindset, healing consists of choices, and living is the outcome.
Wishing your doctors could communicate and come up with a cohesive plan specific to your medical needs and genetics? At Invita Medical Center, they offer a team-style approach, giving you the opportunity to heal. In addition to a commitment of providing radical love and care for their patients, they are strategically located in sunny Arizona because Arizona offers the best integrative medical laws in the country. Call today to speak with one of their patient care coordinators. You can find them online at Invita.com.
Lyme Voice thanks Invita Medical for the continued support. Please reach them at 1-866-830-4576. Welcome all you Lyme Voice listeners. Today we have a great episode with David Kent, the author of The Lyme Book. Now, this is the book, apparently. The Lyme Book. It can be found at many different places, including on the show notes of this episode. We'll have a link to his book. Today, as I record this intro, I'm flying solo. Sarah is in Scottsdale, Arizona, going to treatment at Invita Medical. And today, in fact, right now, as I record, she's having surgery, having her port put in so that she can accept treatment. I guess this is what a podcaster does when his wife is in treatment, is record an intro to a new podcast. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Oh, but before I get there, I did want to tell you about something. Kagan water machines. Okay, now this is something worth talking about. We bought this a couple months back, and it's been revolutionary to our lives. Like, it is such a huge asset. What it is it's alkaline water. And now this alkaline water is antioxidant rich. 2 glasses equals 5 pounds of blueberry. 5 pounds of blueberries in the antioxidant realm, that is. Now, not to mention the 2.5, you can actually change the pH balance. And one of the things you can do is use 2.5 pH balance to disinfect. It kills everything. In fact, it's being used as a disinfectant overseas quite a bit. Now, I love 2.5 because it's chemical free cleansing water. And that's just one aspect. There's many more. 11.5, awesome stuff. If you ever get a chance to call me 505-681-1770. I'd be glad to talk to you about it, or you can text me at that. Now, this machine was so important, Sarah actually disconnected it from our faucet, which was really easy to do, and reconnected it at her hotel in Scottsdale. That's how important this water is for us. Now, we got ours a couple months back and loved it. The way we got ours is through financing. I don't know if we could have covered the cost of this machine. The financing available is a really good deal. If you have trouble with your credit, don't worry. This qualifies a lot of people. So feel free to call me at 505-681-1770 or text me and I'll get you the information you need. We are authorized dealers of these machines now. So if you want to buy one from us, that would be a huge help to us. And I know it will be a huge help to you. Let's get into this episode with David Kent and Sarah.
With me today is author David Kent, who recently wrote the Lyme book. And one of my favorite lines from his book, which is right at the beginning, says, "Diagnosis is just the beginning." And I pretty much fell in love with it right then and there. David, thank you so much for being here with us today, all the way from South Korea?
That's right. It's my pleasure to be here.
Okay. Yeah, we're 15 hours time difference from each other.
Wow. That's quite something, isn't it, really?
I know. It's Thursday night here and Friday morning your time.
Yes, it is. But it's great technology can bring us together and enable us to have this conversation.
I know. Yeah, it's fantastic. So you wrote the Lyme book, and why don't you give us an overview in about 2 to 3 minutes of your story with Lyme and what propelled you to expel that amount of energy to write a book?
Okay. Let's see, my diagnosis took nearly 5 years. I saw 4 general practitioners, 9 specialists, and of course, over 2 continents. So I was seeing people in Korea, and that wasn't working out at all. And then I went back to my home country and hometown of Sydney, Australia, and eventually just stumbled across a doctor who said, "Well, I think you actually might have Lyme. Let's test for that." And prior to that, though, I was ultimately 2 years bedbound, 2 years couchbound, and then 2 years trying to get out one or two days a week. I had all the muscle aches, all the muscle weaknesses, light temperature and sound sensitivity. My wife had to move out for a while because even if she just crept across the floor, it would just be too painful for me to actually hear her walking.
Wow.
I had, BART rage, terrible cognition and memory issues, definitely lost IQ points. I could feel with the cognition that I had a sense of knowing I knew something that I no longer knew, but I didn't know what it was. Hallucinations, I lost a sense of time. And of course, this was all accompanied by the horrendous flu-like symptoms and exactly 3 weeks to the day of cleaning out a backyard shed that was just full of feces and rat carcasses, fleas, mites, ticks, all that kind of stuff. So I eventually found this doctor and he said, "Let's test for Lyme," and had the Western blot and all of that. And the bands that showed up were 31, 41, and 58. And there was also a hint of Babesia duncani and positive for Bartonella.
And was your original diagnosis then in Australia first, or was this in South Korea?
Well, South Korea said I had, what's that famous term those infectious disease doctors like, post-infection, post-infection symptoms.
Okay.
Yeah. And basically they said, "We can't do anything for you. You should go somewhere else."
Hmm. Well, at least they were honest.
The doctor said, "This is what I think you have. I don't know how to treat it. I can't do anything more for you. I think you should go somewhere else." And I interpreted that to mean no one in Korea can help you. Go outside. Hmm. And so I thought, yes, I'd better go outside. And then I couldn't afford that. So I went once a year for a couple of years and then found a doctor in Sydney that just happened to believe in Lyme.
Wow.
And he's the one that brought it up. He said, "Look," because initially he thought I had maybe adrenal symptoms, adrenal fatigue and things like that. So he started to treat me for adrenal fatigue and hormone deficiencies and things, which turns out is quite good if you do have Lyme, to start by doing that. So then he said, "Well, look, you should be okay by now if it's this, and you're not. So let's test for mold and let's test for Lyme." And that's when these things came back. I won the Lyme bingo, as Horowitz. So my treatment now is probably about a year in, and I worked out at the 8-month mark that it with all the flights to doctors and all the MRIs and all the other scans, that it actually at the 8th month mark, and I've given up counting how much money I'm spent now, but that was over $500,000.
Wow.
Just to get that initial.
Just to get the initial diagnosis and start. Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. So what percentage do you think you're operating at now on a day-to-day basis?
Now I'm pretty good. So now I'm, say, like a year full-on treatment. So I eased onto the treatment regime, and I chose to do antibiotics and herbal because at the time I thought, let's hit it with everything as much as we can and let's get rid of this quickly. But, you know, I've now since learned that it's really a marathon and it's not really a get it over quickly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I've forgotten your question.
No, you answered it. So you had mentioned at one point that you were so sensitive that your wife actually moved out of the house because you couldn't handle the sounds, the stimulation, anything.
Everything. We changed all the lights out in the house to red lights because the white lights were too rough. So the red lights or the yellow lights were really much better to see with at night. There's like an extraction fan in the bathroom that we have, and it has a little LED green light on it. That was enough for me to see in the pitch black. That's how sensitive to light I really actually was. So she, quite fortunate in Korea, you know, rent, and you can get a small place, rent is cheap. So we were, you know, able to put down some key money, which you get back when you move out, and you pay a small amount of money as a monthly rent. So she was able to get a, you know, a place for like $100 a month.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, but I mean, you've got to put down like, you know, $20,000. But so... when you get that back when you move out. So she's able to go to a place, but you've got to sign the contract for like a year or 2 years. So, fortunately, that's very nearby, so it's like just around the corner. So yeah, she was able to find a place like that to go to. And fortunately, I'm lucky enough to have a wife that's actually accepting enough to do that.
Yeah, I was gonna ask that, like, how has that impacted things? And she's okay with it. She's hanging in there.
Well, terribly rough before we knew what I had.
Yeah.
Terribly rough. You know, 2 years on, I'm basically 2 years in bed, couldn't move at all. And she would wake, you know, she'd wake up, go to work, come home, I haven't moved for 2 years.
Yeah.
So that was very, very rough, but very rough. But she could clearly see I wasn't healthy.
So, right.
Clearly see something's drastically wrong, and I'm very, very ill. So she just worked with it, much like I've had to do. You know, you just work with what you've got and see how you go. But once finding out what I had and then joining the forums on Facebook and other places, I've found that, you know, actually that's very rare that the spouse will actually hang around. Usually they leave quite quickly, or they end up not believing what you're going through and things like that. And that's part of the reason why I initially wrote the book. I wanted my wife to know what it felt like to have Lyme disease. I wanted my family and my friends to know what it felt like to actually have this problem. And I mean, there's a saying that you don't get it till you get it. So I wanted really one chapter of the book to really go into detail of what it feels like to have Lyme. So even if you don't have it, you can get it. You know, so that section of the book covers really things like disbelief, the disbelief that you'll have to confront from family members and even the medical community. The post-traumatic stress disorder that you'll get because the doctors will just say they don't believe you and, you know, you're making things up, and then you won't want to go to a doctor again for anything, even to get like a little cut sewn up.
Yeah.
Because you'll have that, those past things coming back for you. Then there's isolation and the emotional and neurological disturbances like Lyme brain that everyone has to go through, insomnia, pain, you know, bouts of rage and irritability, and things like anxiety and depression, fatigue, feelings of grief, and just the notion that, that the disease itself actually, I think, is a forever life-changing experience. And you know, even if it goes into remission or a cure, then it still has changed you forever. It's also a disease that can lead to invisibility, because you're not, you're just inside. You can't get out. You don't have the ability to go and meet people anymore, and or go out and do the things that you used to be able to do. I mean, I used to do a lot of marathon running or hiking and things like that. And I have a private pilot license, so I'd go flying, and I just couldn't do, and still haven't done any of those things really.
Really?
So, yeah. So
I think one of the interesting things I read in your book, as I was trying to get diagnosed and kept saying, no, there's something wrong. Like, I can't walk up my stairs. I can't hold my kids. Like, this isn't normal. You said in your book over and over again, you kept getting told, drink more water.
Right. It was very interesting. The Australian doctors that I initially saw, because I got sick initially in Australia and came back to Korea and then went back to Australia for ultimately to find a doctor. The ones in Australia looked at me and said, well, you look fit and healthy, you'll fight it off. And at that time, I was doing weightlifting and running and everything like this. So of course, yes, I looked fit and healthy. Then after 2 years of being in bed, I was no longer looking fit and healthy, and the Korean doctors didn't say that. What they said is, oh, just drink more water and flush it out. And even though I told them, I'm drinking, you know, okay, I came last week or last month, and you told me you drink more water, I'm now drinking, you know, 3 or 4 liters a day. It's yeah. getting to be too much. I can't drink it anymore. Oh, whatever, just drink more. That's part of it. They're just not really believing. And that's something I wanted to look at in the book, that the statistics behind not only the disease itself, but when you go and see a doctor, what's going on there. And it's very, very interesting, because what I found out by looking at the literature, PubMed and all of the published research, in fact, when you see a doctor, you've got a 50% chance of them actually deciding they'll believe you.
That's crazy.
It is. So before you even walk in the door, there, you know, you've got that one, you know, that 50% chance that they'll just think you're making it up.
All of that at every appointment.
Yes.
I remember thinking, like, I couldn't look too good. I would be like waiting 3 months to go back in for an appointment. I'd been in bed for 2.5 months, and the week before my appointment, I'm actually up and functioning. And I would consciously be like, oh my gosh, if I show up and I look normal, they're not going to believe me even more than they already don't.
Well, I mean, I went to one specialist, and it was the middle of summer, and I'm dressed in winter gear, had a scarf on, everything, gloves on the lot. Took the gloves off, and my hands were white and my fingernails were blue and they were freezing cold. And even though I just told all my symptoms to this doctor, including, you know, being cold, they just leaned back in the chair, crossed their arms, and said, that is not possible.
What?
It is possible. And my wife's sitting there and she's like, but, you know, just touch his hand. It's possible.
Yeah.
So that really got me wondering. And then the next time I went to a specialist, they said, I wrote down all the list of symptoms, which of course are on the, you know, if I've got in the back of the book, I've got all the symptoms for, you know, each of the infections, and my symptoms I now know are on all of those lists. But I handed that to the doctor, and they just started crossing off symptoms and said, well, if I remove this one and I remove this one, and I don't even know why you've got this one here, and if I remove that and I remove that, then, well, you have diabetes.
And oh my gosh.
that is when I thought, no, I'm on my own. I have to do my own research. I need to find out what is going on with me, myself.
Mm.
Because I'm not going to get an answer here, because they're looking for only what they've been trained to look for. They're not looking for actually what I have.
Yeah. You know, and that's interesting. And I remember that part in your book and having the exact same experience of realizing I am absolutely on my own. No one is actually trying to help me here. I'm seeing specialist after specialist. I'm on a ton of medications. They're literally sending me home to die after every appointment, and no one cares. And in a sense, that's a sad reality, but that's a game changer, because then you realize, okay, I have to figure this out.
And that's also one reason why I wanted to write that chapter for the book to help people understand what it feels like to have Lyme, because it still amazes me that family will believe a doctor that they have met for 5 minutes over someone that they've known perhaps their whole life.
Yeah.
You know, that's the big question. Does the family member want to believe the person who's actually sick, or are they just going to believe a stranger?
Well, and your story is unique in some sense that you are high functioning. You were a professional pilot. You had a daily rigorous routine as far as teaching and weight training and flying every day. And their solution is to tell you to drink more water, as if you haven't been doing that for years, as if you don't do that every single day.
Right. I'm not a professional pilot. I'm a private pilot. So not a commercial pilot.
Okay.
Just a private pilot. But still doing the private pilot, being a private pilot, flying every day, and working as an assistant professor. I'm teaching actually master's degree students and PhD students. So it's high level. And that was the problem. My cognition was disappearing, and I couldn't function at the level that I needed to function at as I was getting sicker and sicker.
Well, but another thing that's interesting about your story is that you have a doctorate.
Mm.
And they were still dismissing you. I mean, they were dismissing me, but they were putting it under the guise of, well, you have 5 kids, you're too busy. And I'm like, yeah, but I had them on purpose, and I didn't feel this way before, right?
Right.
And you have a doctorate, and they're dismissing you. That, to me, is intriguing. I mean, it happens across the board.
It doesn't matter yet. It doesn't seem to matter. I think what they're looking at is just, you're not trained in this specific small area, therefore you don't know what you're talking about. But of course, that's...
Neither are they.
Well, that's it. And anybody can be trained in anything, because you just learn it. For me, it used to be not so hard.
Yes.
Now... Now that's a little bit of a different story. Cognition's still an issue for me, and that's why I wrote the book. I needed to get my cognition sorted out. I really wanted to try and get my thinking back in order, and to help myself. I needed to do the research on the actual thing that I know I have, so that I can actually get better and help others, really, to get better. And that's what the book's about. The book is about, really the book exists because I couldn't find a book like it. There was no book that was written for the person who is sick and their family and their friends. The books that are out there are usually written for the person written for the doctor, and then and the person who is ill can benefit from that. That's usually who the books are written for. So I felt it was quite difficult for most people to read that, and especially if they've got cognition problems from Lyme or whatever else it might be, if they haven't maybe studied or are used to reading this kind of material, it's going to be very hard for them to read published research or books like that. So I tried to write something that was fully researched, only supported by the literature, so everything's been proven out scientifically, that's in the book, and write it in a way that anybody can read it. So even young kids, teenagers, you should be able to read this and understand it. And if you do have serious cognition problems, all of the statistics for each chapter I made into infographics and put them in the back of the book, so that you can quickly get yeah, get a glance of the information that each chapter is talking about and what's the most important from each chapter.
Yeah, I thought that you laid out the whole book really well. It's very informative. It's descriptive. It's easy to read. You have a ton of lists that make categorizing symptoms and issues very simple. And I've recommended it to a lot of the people I do coaching with. And I had told you this before we started recording, but even people who are military, it appeals. You write in a military, very logical fashion, and it appeals to people. I've already recommended it to a number of people, and I feel like it does a really good job of just laying it out in the sense of why is this so hard? Okay, well, just like a diagnosis is just the beginning, there are so many reasons to that and cost factors and geography and all those things, but I feel like you did a really great job of just giving an overview of why we struggle the way we do in just to find basic care, diagnosis, all of that. At one point in your book, you talk about different aspects of detoxing, castor oil packs, colonics, coffee enemas, dry skin brushing. What has been maybe one of your game changing detox methods that's your go-to?
Personally, for me, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there and there's not much research behind a lot of it. And I tried cupping and I've tried the Epsom salt baths. I tried lemon water. I never really believed the lemon water because, like, do you squeeze in a bit of lemon? Does that really work? You know, that kind of and that's where you have to really know the amount that you should be using of it, because if you go to a restaurant, there's a sliver of a lemon in the glass, that's not going to work at all.
Yeah,
it needs to be one or two lemons per glass of water really to have any effect. But you know, and that kind of works for me, the lemon water. But the thing that really has worked for me has been sauna.
Like infrared, yeah. Sauna.
Yes. And I wasn't sure about that either. So I just bought, a relatively cheap one that, I could use at home, and it just fits me in it. And you have to turn yourself as you go because the lights are on one side. And that's just how, that works. But, that works very, very well because initially, it would be middle of summer and I just couldn't sweat. I would be wearing winter clothing in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
And just would not be able to sweat. So when I got into the sauna in winter, I actually needed it because in winter it was just too cold. And so I needed to get in it to warm up because even a hot bath did not do anything for me. So that's the actual reason I bought it. But over time, I really do feel that it's has been the best thing for detoxing and being able to deal with things. And part of that is you can also challenge the bacteria, because I heard when you go and have a test to see if you've got any of these things in you, a good way to do it is to exercise and sweat a bit and take your medication, either herbal or antibiotics, whatever you're on, at the same time, so that you're getting the bugs out into the system and then fighting them, and then they're releasing their antibodies or whatever. So by challenging the bacteria, you can perhaps have a better test result. So I thought, well, if that's the case, then maybe I should be doing the sauna and trying to do a bit of exercise, continuously. So 3 days a week or something like that. And that has worked very well for me.
Hmm.
Yeah, very, very. The other thing that has worked, for me is diet. And I think diet is quite important because oftentimes with this disease, you can't control anything, but you can control what you eat.
Yep.
So that can give you some empowerment. And I have found, for me anyway, and I don't think it would work for a lot of people, but intermittent fasting does work for me. And some people get confused by the name, and it's not really fasting. It's not really starving yourself. It's really timing when you eat, and you are eating all the calories and you're eating all the nutrition that you need for the day, but in a short period of time, as opposed to over the course of the day.
Yes.
So for, For me, intermittent fasting has worked very, very well. Very, very
And
well.
do you do like 23 hours with no food and then a 1 hour period where you eat? Or what type of I've done a lot of intermittent fasting and I've done different types. I've done it where I fast for 23 hours a day and just eat for 1 hour, usually in the late afternoon. But then I've also done, 3 to 5 day fasts regularly where I just do water. And both for me have been huge. I regularly do fasting because it clears my cognitive dysfunction and makes me feel better all the way around. What have you done?
Initially, I wasn't too sure of it, but I just couldn't really eat anymore. So I just fell into fasting that way and couldn't eat for 3 days. And then I did eat. And then I found, wow, that was really fantastic. Now I feel really good. And then a little bit later, my body wanted to do that again. So I purposely did it. And then I found, wow, actually, it does really work. And since then, I haven't felt like it, so I never did it. But I thought I'd try intermittent fasting, which for me means I would start to eat about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then you don't eat when it's dark, so ever. So I'd eat until maybe 4 o'clock, and I have a couple of, meals over that time. So maybe something at 2 o'clock, graze on it a little bit, and then finish at 4 o'clock with something else. And of course, you still have to take all your pills and supplements and medicine and drink water and everything else throughout the rest of the day. So you're still getting constant nutrition, really. For me, that's worked the best. Yeah, from around 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, I eat one to three, or 3 to 5.
Yeah, and for those of you listening, if you want to know more about fasting, there's a ton of books, but there's also a documentary. It was on Netflix, but it's on Amazon for sure, called The Science of Fasting. That is just absolutely fascinating. And really, when you fast for at least 24 to 48 hours, it triggers your immune system to start flushing everything. And so people think that you're withholding or depriving yourself, but really, you're doing the best thing you can do for your body in a lot of senses is by activating the immune system over the whole body.
Yeah, the other thing I think is important to mention is I can't remember exactly, but I think the statistic is 60%. 60% of all of your energy goes to digesting food. So I thought to
Yes,
myself,
it's huge.
I don't have any energy, so why am I wasting it on digesting food? I need energy for something else here. So that's what actually led me to do the intermittent fasting. From 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, or 3, 4 o'clock.
Interesting. And you were telling me also that you have a method of using borax to
Yes.
help. Yeah, tell us about that.
One of the alternative treatment methods, actually, that my doctor suggested was to use borax to help with Bartonella. So the foot pain with Bartonella, in my case, I'd wake up in the morning and I'm, walking from the bedroom to the kitchen, and it'd be extremely painful. A lot of stabbing pains in the feet. So the idea is that from the borax, you're getting boron that you need for nutritional value. And I'm not quite sure of the mechanism behind it, but you take the borax, about 1 teaspoon of borax, put it into 1 liter of water, and that's your solution. And then from that, you have 5 mils in another liter of water throughout the day. So it's a very, very, very small amount. And what I found is, within a few days, that the foot pain did go away. And I tried to test that, so I stayed on that for a few days and then stopped it. And then the foot pain came back, and then I went back on it. And I thought, well, if it's boron, I'll just take the boron supplement. So then I stopped taking the borax. I didn't really want to drink borax. And the supplement didn't work at all. I went back to the borax. And you can't really drink this all the time because it can build up in the system. So usually you do, like 4 days, take 3 days off, or 5 days and 2 days off. You take it in, maybe take some in the morning or the night, or you have it throughout the entire day. However you're going to do it. That is something that, again, like the lemon water, I didn't think would do anything, but it actually did work for me. And this is what it's all about. It's yeah, there's nothing really that works for everybody. You really have to try all things and see if they do work for you.
Yeah, that's so
That's
true.
so true.
So David has graciously donated 11 copies of his book, The Lyme Book. And if you are interested in receiving one of those copies, all you have to do is go to our Facebook page, and it's pinned to the very top of our Facebook page, and it's called You Pay the Shipping, and I think it's $4 shipping, and we will send that out to you, compliments of David Kent. So thank you very much.
I hope people enjoy the book.
Yeah. So David, you're as we conclude this, there's so many different phases to this journey of diagnosis and treatment and post-treatment and recovery and all that stuff. So you're still on antibiotics and you're still actively in treatment, but have regained some level of functioning.
Yes, I'm doing both the antibiotic and the herbal route. So initially I did Cowden because obviously Cowden does focus on a whole range of things. So just to help try and clear everything, I did a year about it. Well, the initial Cowden, so that's the 9 months. And then moved from Cowden to Boehner and then all the way through on antibiotics as well. So I kind of think I'm like 80, 90 percent with that treatment.
Okay.
So I'm getting there slowly but surely. And we did a bit of a test. I went off one antibiotic and some symptoms ramped up. So obviously it's not time to try and ease off the antibiotics and just stay on the herbals perhaps and keep going. But I mean, there is hope. There is hope. If you find what works for you, and you have enough money to keep getting it, and because it's not cheap, antibiotics are not cheap, and the herbals, it adds up every month. It does add up.
Yeah.
It's not a cheap disease.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, David.
That's okay. It's my pleasure, and I hope listeners can enjoy the book, and they can find it on Amazon, of course, and also
Yes.
away.
Yes, it is on Amazon. It is available, and all of David's contact information will be on our show notes, and then it's also on Amazon. All right.
All right.
Thanks,
Thank
David.
you very much.
Hey, everybody. We really want to tell you about something that has changed our life.
Yes, our Kangen water machine has absolutely been a game changer.
Absolutely. We had such a great response from episode
64. Episode 64 goes into the details if you have not listened to it as far as why it's been so helpful and what it does. And basically, it's alkaline water, but it's also antioxidant rich. So, 2 glasses of fresh water is equivalent to 5 pounds of blueberries, and it has been radical for us as a household.
Yeah, there's so many more uses. We had to do a whole episode on it. But basically, go to myfreewaterstore.com to find out more information directly. Go to episode 64, where you can actually hear Wade Holder talk about all the different applications and benefits from it. And then when you are ready to purchase this machine, we are now distributors. So when you're ready, you call me at 505-681-1770. And there is financing available. If it wasn't for their financing options, we wouldn't have a machine. Call me, we'll talk through some of those options, and this is going to be a huge benefit to your life.
Yes, it is. And we will be talking extensively over this next year, even about fasting and how powerful fasting can be with alkaline water.
Yeah,
Yeah.
excellent. Water is key, people.
Change your water, change your life. For nearly 2 decades, Invita Medical Center has been leading the way with the latest in personalized treatment options designed for patients dealing with Lyme disease complex. At Invita Medical Center, they offer a team-style approach and the latest technology regarding treatment and testing at an unmatched, radical love and care environment for their patients.
Call to speak to one of the patient care coordinators today to learn why hundreds of patients choose Invita Medical Center each year. You can find them online at Invita.com.
Disease is contrary to life. Therefore, wherever disease exists, life must also fight to exist.
Good job fighting, Lyme fighters. Keep it up. We'll see you next time.
Lyme Voice contains general information about medical conditions and treatments. The information is not advice and should not be treated as such. Okay, Lincoln?
Okay.
The medical information on Lyme Voice is provided as is without any representations, warranties, expressed or implied. Okay?
Okay.
Lyme Voice makes no representations or warranties in relation to the medical information on this podcast. You must not rely on the information on this podcast as an alternative to medical advice from your doctor or other professional health care provider. If you have any specific questions about your medical matter, you should consult your doctor or other professional health care provider. And for you, you consult your parents, okay?
Okay.
If you think you may be suffering from any medical condition, you should seek immediate medical attention. You should never delay seeking medical advice, disregard medical advice, or discontinue medical treatment because of information on this podcast. Got it, Lincoln?
Got it.